this shows a side of Jesus that most religious Christians don't want to deal with. This side, the power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, his death, was that he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It's about covenant, and it's about submission to authority.
In this episode of the Currently Injury Podcast, the topic that we're going to dive into, and Rabbi, we've talked a little bit about this. You've had a Shabbat on it from about a year ago, and you went live a couple times, really kind of breaking it down, at least on the back end. But what is the children's bread? I know it's been a topic that we've had a lot of donors, a lot of people jumping in comments through podcasts, through different Shabbats, just really kind of jumping around everywhere. And so our team requested this episode, so it's one of those that we just had to get to. So let's keep it as simple as we can to start, right?
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. This shows a side of Jesus that most religious Christians don't want to deal with, this side of him. Okay. Let's start like in Mark 7:26-28. I'll be reading now the New King James. The woman was a Greek Syrophoenician by birth. She kept asking him, "Cast the demon out of her daughter." But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Verse 28, and she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." So we really have to contextualize the time and culture of Jesus. Before Jesus died, he was not sent to any other group but the Jews. So when he's talking about the dogs, he's talking about she is a Gentile. She's not Jewish. And so she's goyim in the Hebrew, which means without God and without hope in God. That's why the message that we preach of one new man is so powerful. And he's talking about the bread. The bread is the power of his words, because the word became flesh. And Jesus said he was the bread of life. It's the power of his words to heal. And he's saying, it's not for you. This isn't my season. It's for the Jews. And that's very difficult, you know, for people to grasp, that Jesus was not like this giving his anointing to just everyone. That wasn't the truth. The power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, his death at Passover, was that he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And when he said it was finished, there was a whirlwind and an earthquake and a giant thunderstorm that broke out. And what happened is when the guards said, this truly, he was the Son of Man, is because they could see from where they were at, they could see into the temple. And the curtain, which is several feet thick inside the temple, it rent, it ripped. And what happened is they were able to see into the Holy of Holies. So what happened is the blood of Jesus on his last breath literally brought an earthquake that opened up so that this Phoenician woman now could call on the name of the Lord and actually could participate in the children's bread, which would be the word of God that brings salvation and healing. So that's about as easy as I can say it, and I don't think I did that good a job with it.
Why do you think it's such a difficult topic for, say, the modern day church, regardless of denomination? It's just, it's one of those things. I mean, like, you know, we talked a little bit off air before we hopped on. And I mean, like, there's a reason why people are asking for more teaching on it. But in general, why is it such a tough topic to really dive into? Why is there a little bit of controversy with it?
Well, I just to be honest, is because it sounds racist. But he's not a racist. He's not just for the Semitics, for the Jews. The point is, he said, it's about covenant and it's about submission to authority. Jesus said this. Now listen to me. I do nothing lest I see my Father in heaven do it. Well, why was he sent? Jesus was sent to restore covenant with man. The covenant was broken in the garden. He sent him to restore covenant with all men. So where he has to start with is that when God started the restoration from the garden, the first person he makes covenant with is Abraham, who's a Jew. So the Abrahamic covenant, the Jewish covenant, what happens is now he has to send his son to connect with that covenant to create the new covenant. And then those are the steps, Abraham to the cross, then to the one new man. So what he's saying to this woman is, you know, she's persistent and she has faith, but he's telling her, it's not my time to be healing with you. And so it's not racist. It has to do with covenant and it has to do with identity. To me, it should encourage all of you that are listening that praise God, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you know, black, white, red, yellow, whatever, however God beautifully made you and sent you here. It's not about that. We are all one new humanity. And praise God now because of the gift of the cross, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who died, resurrected on the third day, and rose again, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, all people who call on his name can be saved. But it couldn't be saved until he died on the cross. And he hadn't died yet. So that's the context of when he says, I don't throw the bread to the dogs. But you have to understand that comment was culturally how they spoke back then. So it wasn't like we would say it in the modern context of today. And so if you bring it into modern culture and call non-Christians the dogs, it wouldn't go over, especially in this season. But that's in that season, that's how they spoke. So it wasn't racist or out of line. It was culturally correct on what he said.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good point, at least culturally, how the people of the time, you know, would receive what the teachings, what the writings were actually about. You know, I've had some recent discussions about Romans, like those first couple chapters, Rabbi, about how Paul's talking to the Jewish Christians, right? And like, what's the audience? And culturally, what was things that they would just automatically understand by the way that it was written? And so I guess my question to you on the, because I mean, it's something that I think we need to address maybe a little bit more, and then we can, you know, jump to another angle of this discussion, is that is this a, say, more of a cultural racial time that maybe this subject is, can be deemed maybe racist, you know, or at least go down that route? Or is it just something that across all time, at least on this teaching, that it's been looked like this? Because I think in parallels to what's kind of going on is I've heard a lot of discussions, at least in terms of theology, of what does the Bible mean here versus there, right? And contextually, when people look at verses, you know, I mean, I grew up in a denomination where book, chapter, verse was pretty popular, right? To where we could jump around 15 different book, chapter, verses, and then come up with a thought rather than actually taking a couple scriptures, the full context of what the chapter's saying, and then maybe even do some more research, like if we had to look up translations of the Hebrew or Greek to actually get true meaning of what a word would be, you know, kind of like the Trinity or so in like John 1, right? But is this more of a culture thing in times that we're living when we look at this subject biblically, or is this something that you've always kind of felt like was a situation that people felt maybe one way versus another?
It's cultural. I think probably the thrust of, I think me getting saved and then within the first couple of years of being saved, going to Israel and now been there over 40 times, it's one of the reasons I encourage people to go, is because everything that is in a parable or metaphorically spoken has to do with that time in that culture. And so if you where people, I think, get misled teaching and preaching is when they don't understand the time and the culture. So like teaching the Jewish roots of the faith and ancient principles, the reason I think for myself and even our daughter, Megan, you know, on her podcast, I think it's in the DNA of our family to really go deep into the roots and the foundations, because what it does is it helps you to experience what God was actually trying to communicate. It's about relationship with God the Father. That's what this scripture was all about. Was Jesus could have said, listen, I'm really moved. In fact, I'd like to help you, but that's not part of my assignment right now. I have to stay within the boundaries of what I'm called to do. And on this day, I can't, I'm not able to help you. You see what I'm saying? I'm not helping. I'm sent on a different assignment. And I'll give you a practical application of that. Before Christy and I go out, we'll pray and the Lord will say, here's your assignment. And I'll write it down, journal it. And sure enough, what's going to happen is we're going to get great opportunities to spontaneously do other things. You know, we have favor, people like us. And a lot of times people, when they meet us, they think it's their divine appointment. Oh, I ran into you in the hall at wherever. And that's not how this works. So what we do, what we've learned is we have to stay on assignment. I'll give you an example. I was in a meeting with the most powerful apostolic leaders in the world back in 1990, and this was when we were doing the Aliyah for the airplanes and getting the planes out of Seattle. And so we had apostolic leaders from Switzerland and from England, from Israel, from New Zealand. And we all went to Snoqualmie Falls. The meetings we were meeting at were down in Issaquah at Christy and I's house when we lived there. But then we took them out for breakfast at Snoqualmie Falls. And Snoqualmie Falls is beautiful. There's this huge waterfall. And then there's a restaurant there, and they have great food. So we took all the apostles there for breakfast. When we got done eating breakfast, then you walk out, and you go down a nice, beautiful path. And, you know, it's typical Pacific Northwest, beautiful trees. And you go out where you can an observe area to watch the waterfall. And as we're walking out, there's an obvious witchcraft of rocks, where a cult structure and witchcraft people will stack rocks a certain way. And what they do is they're actually cursing the water source, okay? And now, I'm brand new to the Lord at this time, but all these other leaders, they know that. So one of the younger leaders, about my age, but knew more, had been doing this a long time, saw it, and was going to go over and kick it over and break the curse off it. And the apostolic leader, the prophet from Israel, very strong personality, and he told him, he goes, don't touch that. And he looked, and I mean, literally, this is probably like 8 of the most powerful at that time in the world. I mean, these guys have written books. If I told you the names, you would know. And I'm sitting there like, what? You know, and I didn't even know what it was. They told me later. But Shaul was the leader. Shaul said, that's not our assignment. Our assignment is to be here together for the Aliyah. That's somebody else's job. We're not anointed for that. So all I'm saying is, we had enough spiritual horsepower, trust me, for whatever small occult structure set that up. But because it wasn't our assignment, we didn't touch it. And I can tell you that that experience for Christy and I probably has saved our life over the years. Because when we go out, everybody will want to, well, since you're here, let's go do that. If it's not on the original plan of what we're called to do, we tell them, oh, no, thank you. We're not going to do that now. And I know it has saved our life.
Yeah. All right. So where, you know, I think just kind of hitting the point on, at least off on the back end, and then kind of let's find somewhere to land the plane in this episode for more so of a practicability standpoint of people listening and watching and kind of what to do with this episode of education and just biblical knowledge, right? Was it pretty difficult? I mean, obviously listen to the story, but let's walk it back a little bit. Was it pretty difficult to kind of learn to tune it down a little bit in terms of you can't do everything, right? And so like, what is the assignment that the Lord actually has you on right now? Was it difficult to really hone in on that, Rabbi?
No, because once I understood the principle of lordship, that you surrender and he's the Lord and you can only do that which he asks you to do, once I owned that revelation, then I don't know. Occasionally people get upset with Christy and I because they say, we want you to do this. And the Lord told us you were to do this. And we say, well, the Lord didn't tell us. So it can become an issue. But, you know, that's not how this works. I guess it's people pleasing and the fear of man and all that. If you're really going to operate as a prophet, you've got to get past that at some point in your life. I would say that even as a business person, if you can't get to a place where you can't say no, and then people get upset, and again, as we talked in the last podcast on the emotional intelligence, which I'll be teaching a lot on this coming year, if you have to have everybody happy and feel good about you, it's really going to hold you back in your life. It's just not real life. What can I say? It's not real life. And obviously, like with Jesus, when he said to her, no, the bread's for the children, not for the dogs, he was pretty secure with, like, you know, who he was and what he was called to do. And I think that whole phrase there that we just read kind of explains that he was kind of sold out to who he was and obeying his father. And I think that's a good word for every Christian.
Okay, so let's turn this into a couple practical steps. If any big takeaways, Rabbi, somebody's listening, they're watching right now, say they're on YouTube, Facebook, wherever, or maybe they're listening to the podcast early this morning, right? Just as it's being released, they're driving, they're at the gym, they're working out. What are a couple practical steps that they can take away from this episode? Where is application in terms of what they can do personally right now?
To understand the biblical concept of bread. Okay, I'm going to make it real simple. You know, bread is life, but a grain of wheat has to fall to the ground and die in order to make the bread. So you have to understand Jesus, he says in John 6:34 and 36, and Jesus said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. And then he says, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. So here's the key. We spend a lot of time looking for quick fixes on the internet. You're having physical problems, whatever it may be, from joint pain to foot pain to tummy aches, headaches, aging issues. And what Jesus is saying here is, I am the bread of life. Why don't you come to me first? And probably one of the concepts that helps me is when you go to war, and I don't have the scripture, I don't have the address right now, but when you go to war, the war becomes your bread. And so what that means is that you're going to grow in character, stature, and values. You're going to grow and mature through a fight, and that becomes bread. So the reason it's the allegorically bread is because bread builds strength. Bread builds life. It's for health. So God's words, God's ways, God's thoughts, what God allows in your life, what God doesn't allow in your life is all bread. All of it is bread that causes you, his goal is practically to cause you to grow and to mature. So if you look at every situation you go through, good, bad, and indifferent, as a situation as bread, it's how am I consuming it? Or am I mad and I don't like this bread and I'm spitting it out like a child? So you're either going to eat it, swallow it, and move on with it, and so to say, man up, woman up, and go through it with praise and be like Job and say, though he slay me, I'll praise him. You're either going to man up and praise up and stand up, or you're going to sit down. And the opposite would be to get in the fetal position with your sucking on your thumb and woe is me, look what happened. That's the opposite. The bread is through his strength, I can endure and go through all things. So I think that's the practical application, that understand when Jesus says that he's the bread of life and the word became flesh, he is the bread. That's why when we take communion, we're consuming that bread, because symbolically we're consuming him as our strength.
Yeah, that is really, really good, Rabbi. Let's do this before we wrap up, get your final thoughts. Something that we've done last week in last week's podcast episode in the Hebrew month of Shavuot, and would love to continue it in the comments, get a conversation going. Let us know where you found the ministry, online or in person. Was it a feast? Was it a podcast? Was it a Friday night Shabbat? Was it a special event? Let us know. That's something our team would love to know, how you've come in contact, how you've built community with us, and hopefully we built community with you as well. So let us know in the comments right now. That's something that our team would love to just jot down. And Rabbi, kind of do a little bit of like a in-house poll of how well are we connecting with people and providing that daily and weekly spiritual content. So let us know in the comments right now. That would be amazing. So Rabbi, let's go ahead and land the plane on this episode. Final thoughts on the healing of the children's bread CLP podcast episode this week.
I really feel like that the understanding that Jesus is the bread, meaning that everything that you need for nutrition, health, prosperity, and life itself is in Jesus, that he's all-inclusive. And I think that's the real message of I am the bread of life, is that everything pertaining to life, come to me first.
Well, I think that's simple. Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep Jesus the main thing. That is most of what I've got from this episode, Rabbi. I think you did a great job breaking it down. If you're listening, you're watching, if you're over on YouTube, do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button on your screen. As a giant portion of people that find this podcast, find a Shabbat, find a feast, Rabbi, are not subscribed to the channel. And so what we want to do is make sure that you can get that daily and weekly spiritual content. So do us a favor, hit that subscribe button. If you're over on YouTube, if you're on Rumble or Facebook, hit the follow. If you're listening this on Spotify or Apple, do us a favor, If you love the podcast, you love the content, go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. Write us a review. It's going to help get the podcast populated more. It's going to get ranked higher. So do us a favor there if you're over on Apple or Spotify listening to podcasts. All right, that's going to do it for this episode and this week of the Kirtland Injury Podcast. We'll see you next week.